So, what was your childhood like?
Oh, wow. We're going to start like that, huh? Childhood was difficult. Grew up in a fairly challenging area. But I had my parents my whole life. Sometimes I wish they weren't together. Yeah. But I had them together my whole life. They're still together to this day, over 50 years. So, deeply involved in sports to try to keep me on the right track. And a lot of family stuff.
If you're comfortable saying, what were some of the challenges in the area that you lived in, or even just in your home?
Mostly, you know, family challenges. There was a lot of alcoholism. There was a lot of drinking, a lot of partying. And we were exposed to that at a very young age. But we always took it in stride. It was very cultural. You know, growing up in a predominantly Hispanic community, you know, they get together, a lot of music, a lot of dancing. So, you know, sometimes people's alcohol would get away from them, and then they would, there were fights would ensue or whatever. So at a very young age, I saw a lot of that stuff. But for the most part, it was pretty joyful. Everybody really enjoyed getting together. They blew off steam by dancing and singing and drinking. And so it was actually it was a lot of fun as a kid until those crazy things would happen. But the area of Texas that I grew up in, there was a lot of, a lot of street activity and stuff. So.
Where in Texas did you grow up?
Midland, Texas. Okay. Which is West Texas.
Were you strongly involved in sports your whole childhood or just when you got to, like, high school?
No, pretty much. I started playing football in the sixth grade. A lot of my other friends had started way before that. And I was just really good at it, so it was fairly easy for me. But I was kind of a chubby kid, and then as I grew up, I stretched out and I started to become more like receiver, strong safety type. Mm-hmm. So I became a skilled player. I went from lineman to defensive lineman to receiver to strong safety to slot back to wing back. And then I just kind of really excelled as a receiver.
Did you play any other sports?
Yep. I was a basketball player. I was a football player, a soccer player, and I was track. I was a track guy. So. Okay.
Do you think that being involved in sports helped you a lot with your home life or your social life?
Absolutely. I think that it's really, you know, the biggest thing that I remember the most, when I got into the military, I was already so team-oriented. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, as a manager for an aerospace facility, I'm very, very team-oriented. Everything is driven around team. So yeah. I think my leadership, is really... I'm able to paint a picture of my life. It revolves around team and leadership quality. And, you never leave somebody behind. Mm-hmm. You know, my whole life has really been scripted that way. But for sure, the biggest lesson I learned was it's all about the team. It's all about your teammates, and you always got to get each other's back. And that translated into a lot of things in life for me, you know.
Yeah.
How to do well in the military family, what my family now is, and, you know, making sure that everybody's solid.
Do you, aside from sports, did you excel in school? Was that something that you enjoyed?
You know, it wasn't. To be absolutely honest with you, I didn't realize how smart I was until a lot later on in life. I didn't take academics very seriously. When I was growing up, it was mostly about athletics. And it was kind of encouraged, you know, I knew coaches that would pass players just because it was all about sports. It was all about athletics.
Yeah.
I admire now these days, how people your age and even younger than you that academics is such a focal point. My son Isaiah, he's 16 and he's a straight A student, and it's all about hitting the books as well mm-hmm. as swinging a bat or catching a football.
Yeah.
So I admire that because it really wasn't impressed on me too much growing up. It really wasn't. It was more of a, you know, play first attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you start working?
I started working when I was 16 years old. I was 16. And I had a summer job working for, my brother worked as an apprentice, an electrician's apprentice, for Carlton Electric, and they let me run the warehouse and basically sort all of their parts in the warehouse and organize them. And then the following summer, and that was when I had gone off to high school, I went to an all-boys preparatory school, college preparatory school. And when I came back, before my senior year, I actually worked for Power Spray Systems. I would actually pressure wash and wash vehicles and car lots and stuff with this gentleman that owned a pressure washing system, a traveling one. So in the 112 degree heat of West Texas, it was murder. But it was good for me to start that early because it really showed me work ethic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did your parents encourage you working?
I think they did. I didn't grow up with a lot of money, so... You know, I didn't really ever struggle for much of anything that I needed. But there were times that I remember, not eating the same meal over a few days' time because, you know, my mom would make a huge batch of rice and a huge batch of refried beans. And literally, we would live on that for a couple of few days waiting for the next payday. But so they encouraged it in that they didn't want to see me struggle.
Yeah.
And at one point, my mom had two jobs and my dad had three jobs. Just to make ends meet, and then later on things started to really level out for them, but they went through, they went through a good 10-15 years where they really worked their butts off, so yeah. I saw the work ethic in them, so they encouraged me, you know, to start being a little more independent.
Yeah,
it was really, it worked out really well.
What was your work ethic like when you began working?
I was very lackluster, man. I wasn't very motivated. I was an athlete. Yeah. A lot of things had gotten handed to me because of my athleticism and how good I was. So I was used to kind of having it however I wanted. So I went into the workforce kind of thinking that I was above the law, you know, like I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was really spoiled in that regard. So it was hard for me to really swallow the pill of responsibility. And because of it, you know, I made some mistakes and, you know, I had to learn the hard way, but... I mean, I'm a big believer in that, you know, God allows difficulties to hit your life, so kind of as a quickening for the next step of your life. So, you know, now looking back, in hindsight, I wouldn't have changed any of it. As painful as some of the stuff was, I think it was okay because it made me a better person now. But yeah, I was not very motivated. I was super spoiled and kind of lazy, to be honest, so.
But it... paid off now and it made you a better person.
It really did. It really did because I've seen what it's like to be at the bottom of the barrel when all you can do is go up. All you can do is get better. And so that was the hardest part for me. And I've also seen in things that I love what you get when you don't work hard for it, you know. There's not a lot of satisfaction in something being given to you and handed over.
Yeah.
You don't learn the importance of it. You don't appreciate it near as much. So I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity later in life to really understand that I am an intelligent person. Just because I didn't try to become educated doesn't mean that I didn't have the brain that could be effective in the business world. So,
yeah,
you know, I took the long way around. I shouldn't have, but... But yeah, it was definitely eye-opening.
What pushed you to join the Navy?
Discipline. I needed some discipline. I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing. I was drinking a lot, partying a lot, staying out till all hours of the night, worrying my parents, just kind of really embarrassing my family. Not that anybody knew what I was doing, but, you know, if people were to know that, oh, Augustine Reyes' son is doing this or whatever, you know, in our culture, it's very, it really sheds a bad light on your family.
Yeah.
And that's with every culture, but specifically with ours, you know, with Hispanic culture, people talk a lot, and because they do, they tend to kind of embellish.
Yeah.
and they make it sound worse than it is. So
yeah,
I was doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing, and I knew that the military, and actually one of my friends came to me and said, I'm going to the recruiter and you're coming with me. And I was kind of like, whatever. And he showed up at my door and he says, hey man, we need to take a drive. And we went right to the recruiter. And I came home and I told my parents, I'm going to the Navy.
Do you think that if it wasn't your friend who had pushed you to go or kind of like surprised you, would you have gone?
Honestly, Renee, I don't know that I would have. That was during the time that I was zero motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into the Navy or you go into the military, you're forced, you hit boot camp, you're forced to find yourself, sink or swim.
Yeah.
You know, find the strength inside of yourself. That's when I started to really realize, oh my gosh, there's a leader that exists inside of me that I don't think I really want the job. I don't want the job to lead people, man. I'm totally cool just being funny and whatever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of when I realized my calling from God, that, you know, people are expecting this from you. And some people don't know how to work their way out of their own issues, and maybe this is what you're supposed to be for people. So I don't think I would have done it, but man, I thank God every day that he did send me.
Yeah. In the beginning of you joining, was it rough? Was there specific struggles?
Yeah, you know, I'd been out of my parents' house since I was 15 years old, so it wasn't hard for me being on my own. Matter of fact, I kind of preferred it. And that was another challenge that kind of forced me to grow up quickly. Probably management of money, probably management, time management has always been a big thing for me. You know, get it done now so you don't have to worry about it tomorrow. My mantra was the opposite. I'll put it off and do it later.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, I procrastinated so much that I put myself in a pickle that I had to like stay up all night to do something that if I could have done a little bit at a time, I would have gotten it done sooner.
Yeah, big procrastinator.
Yeah. That was my middle name.
Sure.
Even with preparing for football, you know, I would party the whole summer, and then the last month before I would think I would get myself into shape, and I would show up out of shape.
Yeah.
It sucked. Yeah, I was an idiot. Yeah.
How else do you think that the Navy changed you?
It really forced me to see humanity for what it is. I think being in third world countries and taking for granted what we have in the United States, I think one of the things that really bothers me about overprivileged America is that we look down at people because of their culture or because of what they've dealt with, how they were raised. And we have no idea how good we have it. I mean, I've seen people living in shacks. I've seen people stepping over sewage rivers, you know, because they just, that's where they live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to throw change, you know, these idiot sailors would throw money in this, you know, it was like a sewage river. And the kids would jump in there trying to dig the money out, and they just thought it was the funniest thing. It was the most heartbreaking thing you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so behind. I was in Thailand, and there's 5-year-old kids fighting, Muay Thai fighting, to earn money for their families.
Yeah.
You know, it was just crazy. You have no idea how spoiled we are. We have no idea. When we don't have, the cable gets cut off, and it ruins our whole life because we can't watch a football game.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. You know, it's mm-hmm. stupid. We're so spoiled. So that's probably one of the biggest things.
What were some, what were the coolest places that you saw?
Oh, man. Well, South America. I did anti-drug operations in South America, so we trained the Chilean Navy and the Peruvian Navy. And I love South America just because there were Spanish-speaking countries, and I really seeing other people like me. It was a funny thing. It was kind of celebrity-like when I went over there because I was American and I was a Spanish-speaking person. So to them, they were like, man, you can speak Spanish and English, and you're from America? Man, that's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and to them it was, and to me I was like, not really, man, you don't really get it. But realistically, it was more of a, it, forced me to see how good we really have it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love seeing the cultures. The people, meeting the people, I've learned a lot. Talking to other people in other countries. They really helped me to gain perspective on life. You know, my friends, like Foy, mm-hmm. and Joaquin, and just what we went through and just being there for each other and stuff. It was, I love that. I love that I have lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Love it.
Did you grow a close bond with a lot of the people that you were traveling and working with?
I tend to, you know, the funny thing is that I, in the Navy, yeah. In the Navy, I did, because I've always considered people, if we have a bond of some sort, then you're my people, you know, so Foy, you know, had other friends, and I had other friends, but he and I were super, super close. And then, you know, other people were, yeah, for the most part, yeah. I really tried to connect with people. Mm-hmm. I've always been that person. I want to know, I'm interested, I want to know about you, what's going on, what makes you tick, you know, why, if I saw this way, how do you see it? Why do you see it that way, you know? And
yeah.
I always just really wanted to understand people that way.
Yeah.
It really helped me in my job now to be able to, you know, kind of help people through their stuff.
Yeah. Maybe understand the people you're working with a little better.
Yeah. Or from a female perspective, or from an African-American perspective, a Caucasian perspective, an Asian perspective, a Hispanic perspective, and just all the way around how our culture and our diversity really, it really, really can change everything. I mean, it really can. You can have somebody the same age, growing up in different cultures, and they look at something and they see it so differently because of the way they were raised and their morals and the values they were raised with, or the lack of values they were raised with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal.
So we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
But what was your most proud moment in life?
My most what?
Your most proud moment in life.
Being a dad. I remember seeing my oldest son, Augustine, born, and just thinking, oh my gosh, I have... No, I'm not worthy to be a father. And then the belief and knowing that God loves me through all the crap that I've done is probably even more proud than being a dad. But definitely the perspective of how I'm a child of God, and then to see that I'm a father to one of his children, that he basically gave me stewardship over my kid. And how much I could have done differently. But when he was born, it was like the grass was greener, the sky was bluer, I was seeing things so much differently, you know? It being a dad, probably, yeah. Yeah, being a father.
How do I word this? Did you know that after that you wanted to have more kids?
No, and honestly, mine is not a typical story. So, just a little history. I was married to Augustine's mom. Was very much in love with her. She was very much not happy with her decision, and it wasn't me. I'm convinced it was because she had some internal conflict. So we split up.
Do you mean with her decision to be with you or to have a kid?
I think in general, I think she was flying by the seat of her pants, and she was just hoping it was all going to come together.
Okay.
And then later on, she found out that, man, maybe we would have been better not together. There was a lot of hurt in our breakup. There was another third party involvement on her end that, you know, really kind of set a lot of things differently for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then... in an effort to regain me, I very quickly allowed myself to be introduced to somebody, and we spent a lot of time just being physical and not really getting to know each other. And then my son Isaiah was born, and now I'm in a pickle, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna pull this off? And And then I swore up and down I would never have another child. And then I got remarried to Sarah after a few really difficult, long, broken relationships. And then we had my daughter, and, you know, and then there was that feeling again I had with Augustine.
Yeah.
So.
Did you plan to have Aurora?
We did. We were okay with it. We didn't really, like, set out thinking. We didn't think we were ready. Our relationship was really up and down, so emotionally we weren't really sound going into it, and we just thought everything would work itself out. Then we had when we found out she was pregnant, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and we were both very excited about it. We were both a little scared, but we weren't very negative about it. You know, we were just like, okay, cool. Man, this is scary, man, but exciting, you know, kind of thing. And
yeah, it's good that you guys were excited.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not... Isaiah wasn't planned, and we weren't even sure if I was the dad kind of thing. And I didn't meet him until he was 5 months old.
Oh.
Because she moved away with him to Idaho. And then I chose to either go through with the pregnancy with her and help her and find out he's not mine and be completely heartbroken, or wait until he was born and get a DNA test. And I chose the latter, to protect my heart. And after having gone through what I did with Augustine's mom,
mm-hmm.
and Augustine was 2 years old, you know, so I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I'm having to deal with both moms and
yeah.
So when I did finally meet him, I mean, it was good. I mean, it was, when I found out he was mine, then I called her and I said, I want to see my boy.
Yeah.
I know he's mine, you know, I want to see my son. It was very difficult, but,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, if I could have done, I wouldn't change anything. Outside of the conflict that I had with the moms, I wouldn't have changed. I mean, that's my children.
Yeah. Better in the long run.
I love them. Love them so much.
So Sarah also had a kid with her ex.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys got together, and especially once you had a kid together, did mm-hmm. that affect your guys' relationship or the relationship between you and your kids?
It did. I learned the hard way in some previous relationships on what kind of a toll it takes on the kids. Seeing Augustine go through what he did with my ex, and when we got together, I considered all of that, but I never had to be a stepdad to anybody,
yeah.
you know, and the girls that I was with didn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had to play that role. So it was definitely a challenge, and started out rocky. There was a little bit too much familiarity with Vincent's dad and her. So it was hard for me to get used to, and they got along. So I saw him a lot, and it was just really weird, and what my role was going to be. And I wasn't trying to be his dad. I was just trying to help him raise their kid. But yeah, it was definitely difficult.
Did you and Vincent always get along, though?
For the most part, we did. He was very quiet and kind of shy and reserved at the beginning. But yeah, and honestly, I've been very hard on Vincent. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm hard on him for a reason, because I think that he's been spoiled a lot, and I think that the world doesn't afford us the luxury of not being prepared for what it throws at us.
Yeah.
And having been through that myself as a boy, he's my son, and I want him to be prepared for all the world is negative, man.
Yeah.
So.
After everything, pretty much everything you've gone through in your life, do you mm-hmm. have any regrets?
I do. I wish that I would have been serious. I wish I would have been more engaged. I wish I would have been an even better father. There's a lot of things I wish I could take back, a lot of mistakes I made. A lot of selfish things that I did, because at the time my maturity level I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, I regret not being as good as I could have been, or not knowing as early enough that I was capable. So Yeah, there's a lot of things I wish I could take back. So yeah, there are definitely regrets.
Yeah. Do you often think about them or think like, wow, like I wish I could go back to that moment and redo it?
Yeah, I've lived in a guilt prison for a number of years. Literally, I paid a ticket to the guilt train a long time ago, and I've been riding it for a very long time. But I do know that people are dependent on me. I know that to a certain degree, people in my life are going to depend on honesty from me. I know people, you know, my friends and, you know, my wife and my children.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's affected a lot of me for a very long time. But, you know, I believe that I have to be strong. And too many people depend on me for me to be weak.
Yeah.
I don't have that luxury. I don't have a choice. You know, so I just pick up where I left off. But it's an everyday, it's a pride swallowing siege every day to forgive myself. Every day. And if I don't, then it can go south. And I know that. So that's my cross that I bear.
Is there something that motivates you in life necessarily besides like other people depending on you to forgive yourself?
I think I just don't want to fail any more than I have already.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, if you don't know about a lot of the stuff that happened to me or that I did wrong, you would think he's a pretty solid guy. You know, he's a pretty solid dude. You know, he's got his stuff together for the most part. But I've just been fortunate enough that God's led me out of a lot of this stuff. He's given me chance after chance after chance, but. Yeah, man. I mean, who wouldn't want to do it all over again?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think that one thing that like a lot of people when they first meet you and like our family,
mm-hmm.
We don't really like we know like you've done stuff. We don't necessarily know what you've done in mm-hmm. the past, but that's not something that's a big deal because we care about the person that you are now.
Right. And I love that. I mean, that's a big deal to me. That's why. It's important that I'm always available to you, to Lauren, to Morgan, to Mason, to Sid, everybody. You mm-hmm. know, I have to know that you know that I'm going to be there. And sometimes I may be there where you don't want me to be. but you know what I mean? It's very, very important to me because people weren't always there for me and Foy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's important. Our families being as close as they are, that we're there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think you and Sarah and just our families together are definitely a group of people I know that we'll be able to rely on the rest of our life.
Ohana. You know what Ohana is? Look it up.
Family is forever. I don't know. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Hawaiian, yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to be blood relatives. It just means that, you know, nobody's left behind. We're always together. And we're mm-hmm. always going to be, we're always bound by our heart and our love to one another. So, yeah, that's definitely important. You could tell just this weekend. You could tell just the way we were interacting, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's just natural. It's easy.
Do you feel like you've made the most of your life?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. There's so much that I, you know, I think if I poured myself 100% into everything, how much more further along I would be.
Do you think that maybe after the Navy or once you were just kind of a changed person that since then you've done the most that you can to make sure that your life is better than it was?
I think that I could have put more effort to have gained more. Even sometimes with parenting, man, you know, sometimes we get so overwhelmed by everything we're doing that you don't see the pain your kids are going through, and then you wish you could get it back. Like, oh my God, I had no idea. Was I really blind to all of that? I mean, were you silently screaming and I didn't hear it? You know, that kind of stuff, that bothers me. Would I wish I could get that time back?
Yeah.
And that happened with Augustine, and I know it's happened with Isaiah. And, you know, and I don't know how to recover that other than just continuing to love him. But yeah, no, I haven't totally not gotten the most out of. I should have done so much more. That's part of the guilt prison I live in.
Yeah. Do you think that from this point on in your life, you'll continue to do more things that will hopefully kind of not necessarily make up for what you feel you might have lost or lacked in?
I think that, you know, the funny thing is this interview, the perspective just by the questions that you're asking have definitely ignited a thinking pattern for me because I think it's easy in life for you to get used to the scenery. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. Or I'm just cruising along, everything's good. Mm-hmm. And you don't challenge yourself to get better. Today, when you were working, I said, you can go work out. And you were like, because I heard in your voice earlier, I've got to work out 2 more times in the next 3 days. And like, you're decided about it. That kind of drive is, you've got to stay steady like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's easy. The older you get, the more stress that you, depending on what your position is in life, you have to know that if you don't manage the stress will manage you. And
oh, yeah. And I think even as a high school student, I noticed that.
Yeah. And working out is a big deal. If it's a part of your equation, it'll help you to chemically level out, you know? You know, that endorphin release, you know, the good chemical. And I find that, you know, if I work out once in a week and the rest of the week is crappy, hello, you already know you need more than that, you know, so why did you let yourself slip? And a lot of it is just, mm-hmm. you know, you want to just relax and you want to, but yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
You want to keep that routine for sure. Do that. Yeah, for sure.
Have you ever had an epiphany or just any moment where you just decided you completely look at the world differently?
Yes. I have, when my son was born, for sure, being able to see the, how, oh my gosh, I would never let anything happen to you, you know, I would die for you kind of feeling, and then knowing that Jesus Christ died for me, and how, just like the realization, like, oh my gosh, my whole salvation, everything that I do in this lifetime is going to decide where I am for the rest of eternity. And eternity is like 1 year is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a year. You know, so this lifetime is like that big. It's a drop in the ocean. And what we do is going to determine where we're going to end up. And not just that, but, you know, sometimes your life is the only Bible somebody will ever read. And, you know, what they see could be a determining factor for which decision they make for themselves. So, yeah, that to me, you call it a realization, an epiphany, you call it what you want. But I know that it's real. Mm-hmm. And I'm not always the best at following it to, you know, the right way. But
none of us really are.
Yeah, but because we're human, right? But that's the thing, is that it's easy to... You bog yourself down in guilt so much that it's slowing your growth. So that's why every day, man, I got to remind myself every day. But yeah, those two things for sure. I am responsible for another life. Oh my goodness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm having a hard enough time in mine. It's and now I've got to raise I've got to raise children. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And I haven't, yeah. But yeah, I have had those realizations.
Do you have somebody that you look up to?
I look up to a few people. My pastor, John Tushabe, for sure. He's relentless for God. He's relentless for Jesus Christ. It blows my mind. I admire that about him. My brother, who's pulled me out of a lot of messes. And we've both been in a lot of messes together, but yeah. My boss, my former boss, he's my career coach, but he doesn't let me. I'll give you an example. I was working for him for 2 weeks, and we were on this walkthrough. This lady, who was a supervisor for customer service, decides that she wants to pick on the new supervisor. So she says, well, do you have that information? And I was like, no. know. I didn't know what to say. Everybody's staring at me. There's like 15 people in this walkthrough. And I said, no. And my boss says, he'll find that information. He'll get it back to you. And then I said, okay, sounds great. And everybody walked away. And I stopped and I said, why would she do that? Why would she ask me that? He said, and he looks at me and says, do you want to quit? Completely disregarded the way I was feeling. And I was like, I don't understand. Do you think that was necessary for her to act that way? I mean, am I missing something there? He says, didn't like that. I said, no, I didn't like that. He says, do you want to quit? I said, no, I'm not going to quit. He says, I need you to lace those boots up a little tighter and get back on that walkthrough and do your job. And he knew exactly how to talk to me to get the most out of me. And it was the most admirable thing I ever said. If he would have said, well, you know, or he would have gone to bat and went to talk to her about it mm-hmm. and created some negative discussion, it wouldn't have had an impact on me. He would have just been saving me for myself. But he challenged me in a way that it forced me to get off of my butt and be a man. Do you want to quit? Well, if you want to quit, I can find somebody else to do this. Then you're not the guy. And I've never forgotten that. I admired it so much. So, you know, that kind of stuff is what's impactful to me.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed throughout, like, a lot of your stories, like, from when you were younger to the Navy and then to this story, like, it takes somebody to really push you to, like...
If somebody kicks me, not kicks me to the ground and puts their foot on my neck, but somebody that kicks me in the rear end and says, are you just going to keep being a little girl about this, or are you going to do something about it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to be a child, or are you going to make a move? Mm-hmm. Are you going to let this guy own you on this football field, or are you going to run through him and score this touchdown? Are you going to let this guy's talking mess, man. Is that what you are? Oh, no, I'm not that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's usually what it is for me. The people that have just given me everything I wanted were probably the people that have hurt me the most. Gosh, I wish I would have done it differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So keep that drive that you have. It's very important.
Yeah. All right. We are all done.
Okay. Sweet.
There's actually more questions, but I only have 7 minutes left to record, so I had to stop.
You're good. No, you're good.
Do you want to see the rest of the questions?
Sure.
Actually, there's only two more. 10 and 11.